listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, live, live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael
Good
Kelly
evening
and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Welcome to Spirit of Life for Wednesday, March 12th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. Always glad to be here on this prelude to another full moon.
Is that coming up again?
It is so.
It seems like it happens
Thursday
every
night.
4 weeks.
Thursday night? Yeah, it does.
You know, we're coming up on the Ides of March, too. So, you know,
yeah.
Fun times for history lovers.
Yeah.
But always happy to see those in the live chat. We always appreciate your contributions and what you add to this program. But we also appreciate those that take the time to catch up with us from the archives. And we appreciate the time you take to send feedback. We appreciate your insights and your thoughts and your contributions as well. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, as always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. 1 planet, 1 race, 1 ancestry, 1 destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads human evolution and a peaceful coexistence. Tonight's topic, we are going to be talking about sleep and circadian rhythms. And, you know, Dr. Vicki, I haven't told you this yet, but I have actually secretly been running an experiment. And I'm going to tell you about it right now.
All right.
I call this experiment existing. And so I've been existing, and just to see what happens. And you're never going to believe this. Last week, the government stole an hour of my life, and they haven't given it back yet. So, you know, I'm pretty sore about it still, but I think we should start there.
That's funny. Well, you know, it was last week Dr. Mike had said in the chat that because we had just changed to daylight savings, that would be a good topic, and, you know, proceeded from there about circadian rhythms. So I'd like to start out with this, this awful daylight savings thing. Look, rumor has it that Benjamin Franklin joked about it in the late 1700s,
mm-hmm.
but it was some guy in New Zealand, George Hudson, proposed a modern daylight saving time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as it went on, they figured it would be good for farmers. But really, yeah. That's it, you know, for the days of farming and how many hours in a day, and it just got all messed up. So now there's, you know, obviously states and provinces that don't do it,
right,
and other ones that do it. I know I'm in British Columbia, which is the furthest west province in Canada. Below mm-hmm. us is Washington State, you know, and California,
right.
Oregon. And we have talked about getting rid of, the last 3-4 years, getting rid of daylight savings, because the Yukon straight above us is not daylight savings.
Mm.
They keep their clock straight. But it's only because of economics. If Washington State and California, if all of us along the West Coast mm-hmm. would agree to change for economics is talk about transport, shipping, blah, blah, blah.
Right. Trying to sync up then, with the local economies.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of what they figured that. But then again, Arizona is not daylight savings. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's, well, it's kind of got us in a turmoil.
It's an old
generally speaking, people don't like it.
Nobody likes it. In fact, in the American Congress, there had been a bill that generally would have majority support in both houses, except for some reason never gets brought brought down. And I don't see any economic benefit. And it's a good thing that I'm wearing my glasses because I'm going to push them up on my nose and I'm going to be a very annoying person just for a minute. I can't help myself. I'm so sorry. Two things. It's daylight saving time, not plural. It's a common thing. And also, farmers hated it. The farmers never wanted it because they wanted that extra hour before daylight to get their produce to market and things. That's a common myth. I read that back in the day. The biggest time it came in the United States, but it became popular, was during World War I to ration fuel and things like that. They were trying to prevent people from using up electricity for lighting.
Mm-hmm.
But, so I know
that they thought it would increase production or something during wartime.
So that's the last I will be annoying for at least 5 minutes.
No, it's not annoying. It's just showing the other side of things. That's what I say. But a circadian rhythm, what this does, it messes up our circadian rhythms. And I have really tried to discipline the last few years of a week or so before the clock change. Like in this case, I would go to bed an hour earlier for about a week than I usually did. Thinking, I'm going to adjust really well this time. So what happens on Saturday night? I can't sleep.
Yeah.
I know it's subconscious, unconscious, whatever. But I'm all messed up now. I'm totally messed up. Where I normally get up at 5 or 6. This morning I didn't get up till 7. But I went to bed at 10. What is this? I'm in bed for 9 hours. I'm all messed up. And I don't know, no matter what I do, it takes me a couple of weeks to kind of get into it. And of course, today I went out to do some errands and it's around lunchtime. I'm thinking, geez, I'm hungry, but it's still kind of early. What's my problem? And I get home and I say, well, it's past lunch. Well, I didn't change the clock in my car. Duh. You know, so that's why. All those little things. But to kind of best explain why, circadian rhythms, and generally speaking, is the body has an internal clock, and it has a clock of over a 24-hour period. And it's the brain and how it's affected by light and darkness. Now, generally speaking, when we have this gradual onset of more daylight, you know, we can adjust. Mm-hmm. The gradual onset of more darkness, we can adjust. But it's a gradual period, adjusting to light. And we can figure that out. But it's really jarring when it happens in one night. So circadian rhythm, I think the hardest, the most obvious place that you'll find people who have a difficult time with shifting is my number one son-in-law. He was an ER nurse for over 20 years, and he would do 12-hour shifts. So it's a 12-hour shift 2 days in a row, and then a little while longer, it's two nights, 12-hour shifts. Then he'd get 2 days off, 3 days off, kind of, and then back again to two long 12-hour days. And as the clock would kind of change, it would be two nights. He was seriously messed up, you know, for a day or so after two night shifts. Mm-hmm. And grumpy, kind of, don't talk to him, really. Because it does, it affects the physical, mental, behavioral changes, but it's physical.
Yeah.
It's not just emotional and get over it. The body's all messed up.
Yeah.
Some people can do night shift really well.
Yeah.
a lot of people can work graveyard shifts, which is 12 to 8 a.m. Or even 10 o'clock till 4 a.m., whatever it is, 6 a.m. Others cannot, but it takes a while to adjust to that.
Yeah.
So your day becomes night, night becomes day, and your body and brain start feeling those mechanisms. The thing that does get kind of messed up is the sociability, because the majority of people, and I think times, of course, have changed because we have 24-hour stores now, 24-hour
right.
gas stations, and so you kind of hang out with the people who are on shift work, you know. Yeah. So it's, and you're hoping the show you want to go to is on a day off, because, you know, otherwise you're working. So things have kind of changed, but it really does take, I can't do it. Like when I was working part-time as a patient ambassador at the hospital, there was a shift of the 1 till 1 in the afternoon, 2 in the afternoon, sorry, till 11 o'clock at night. And, you know, you get that break in between. And that was brutal. I was so messed up. Even getting home at 11, there's no way I can go to bed by 11:30 or 12. Like it, you need that time. I need that time to decompress, which means then not going to bed till 1 or 2 in the morning.
Yeah,
I'm still up at 5. You know, if my brain says 5 o'clock, get up.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting how I think I read this, and I can't remember if it was from a reputable source. So please look it up yourselves and take it with a grain of salt. But you know, essentially, we have kind of a relatively, you know, good mix of morning people and night owls, right? And they kind of suggested that perhaps this was an evolutionary trait to help protect the tribe. You know, you have some people that are better in the morning, they're more alert and active, and then at night, while you know, some people go to bed early, you have those that will be more naturally inclined to stay up a little bit later, keeping an eye out and things like that. Some people just work better at night, some people work better in the morning. I am definitely a night owl. I don't know if I could physically fall asleep before midnight, ever. Sometimes I do. I was just telling you beforehand, lately my sleep's been all weird, you know.
That's why you're always tired, Michael.
Yeah. Oh, here's another thing. There's so many things that come to mind, but you're absolutely right on terms of the importance of sleep, too, and how it drives your mood, because, as we've said before, well, I'm going to use two things. Oh, we have talked about how we are the human animal. You know, we do have, you know, sentience. We do have awareness and things like that. But yet we are still an animal. I will even say we are a machine. We are a biochemical machine. We need to recharge in many of our systems, our cognitive systems. And I think the most interesting thing is if you look at sleep studies where they have recorded incidents of people, insomniacs, where they're up for days, the hallucinations start. They go insane. It seems, you know, I mean, sleep's good for a lot of things. You know, it's good for speeding along healing. It's good for your immune system. It's good for regulating a lot of things. But I think the most critical thing is you would go insane if you didn't sleep. And I also have this thing, I almost nightly, I try to put off falling asleep pretty much as long as I can. Basically, I'll watch TV, I'll do anything up until that point where I fall asleep doing whatever it is I'm doing. And this is a habit I started when I was a teenager. And just to give you a little bit of peek inside my life, when I was a teen, say 15-ish, I, you know, going through stuff, I would get into these habits of, you know, I'd be laying in bed trying to fall asleep. And you're, you know, it's dark, nothing's on. Yeah, you're just thinking. And my mind would be going and going, and I'd oftentimes get an anxiety attack. A couple of times, a legit panic attack. And so I started to dread nighttime. Not really the night, but dread going to sleep and having to lay there and be alone with my thoughts and just have that swirling around. Back in the day, that's when I started putting TV on. And that's when I started staying up all night. And, you know, just doing stuff, not going to sleep. And I loved it. I loved being alone in the world. The world is quiet. The world is asleep. I get to read books. I'm watching movies. I'm doing stuff. I would put together, like if I bought a new desk, I'd put it together in the middle of the night. I loved it. And, of course, then I became an adult and, you know, you have to live. You talked about was it your nephew who had the late shifts?
My son-in-law.
Oh, son-in-law, excuse me.
He has days now. That took some adjusting.
Oh, good. Well, I can imagine when
he's a charge nurse in a department, so it's different now.
So, when I was a young man, I was working restaurants, and for a stretch, they kept giving me this shift, where I'd close the restaurant, and then the next day I'd be a mid shift. So that's an 11 to 7. So you're closed, you get out about 2, maybe 1:32. Then I have to be back at 11, and then I have an 11 to 7, and then the day after I open. And so I have to be there at 4:30. Mm. I hated that run.
It's tough. But I got to interrupt, and just before the chat is going so fast, and Dr. Mike has written some really cool things. So he's written two different things. I'm going to hopefully it doesn't scroll and get weird on me here. Circadian rhythm is your body's internal clock that follows roughly a 24-hour cycle regulating sleep. Oh, there it went.
You can hit the little arrows down below to stop the scroll.
Hormone release, digestion, and other biological functions. It is influenced primarily by light and so on, as we were talking about. But then he adds, which is really kind of cool, just a little bit of technical info, he says. The suprachiasmatic nucleus, the SCN, this part of the brain located in the hypothalamus, acts as a master clock. That's cool. Mm-hmm. It receives light signals from the eyes and helps synchronize bodily functions accordingly. And, you know, when you think about it, everything from hormones to, you know, the domino effect, it's fascinating. As you say, the body is a machine. I sorry if I interrupted you, Michael. I was just trying to get that in before it scrolled away on me and went weird, because I'm not really technical to know how to stall this stuff.
If you look at the bottom right corner, you'll see a little like fast forward area. Click on that; it'll stop the scroll. Watch, I do that from time to time. But you're good to call me out, because that is a good point. I was getting carried away trying to read the chat. Did you also mention up above? He had talked about the definition of circadian rhythm, good.
Yep. Got that in. And so it does. It affects all those, you know, different parts, like, as he says, wakefulness, hormone release, digestion, and other biological functions. So that's why if you're in a rhythm, that's the way your body's going to function. And when you're young, I think, you know, we're talking about when you're a kid, I think you have more stamina. And not everybody, because, you know, I had 3 kids. They're all different, requiring different amounts of sleep. And as everybody gets older, the one who needed the most amount of sleep is now the one who needs the least, and vice versa. It's kind of weird. My oldest daughter, both my daughters, actually, if they don't get, 8-9 hours sleep, they're messed up, you know. But I have to say, they're kind of going through menopause now, and I know they don't listen to the show, so they're not going to call me up tomorrow and scream at me.
Yeah.
But it's that everybody, again, is kind of different in their function. But once you get a rhythm and you mess up that rhythm, there's got to be a catch-up time.
Absolutely.
You know, you've got to catch that up. Dr. Mike is also saying melatonin production. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
When it gets dark, he says, the pineal gland releases melatonin, making you feel sleepy. I really think what we should have Dr. Mike on as a third kind of co-host. He's our science guy. You know, always have our science guy on hand. Because he's encyclopedia of knowledge. So again, when that melatonin releases, you feel sleepy, and that's why people take often a melatonin supplement. It doesn't work for me. Yeah. Now, I don't know. Taking melatonin supplements didn't do anything. Oh, okay. And everybody, I have to confess here. I have to say, he says cortisol and alertness. In the morning, cortisol levels rise, helping you wake up and feel more alert. I think I lack that because I like to emerge. I don't wake up in the morning. I slowly emerge from the abyss, you know.
Have you tried having an 80-pound dog jump on your stomach?
No, well, I've been there, done that, and that's, yeah, some things will make you wake up fast. I kind of lost my track of thought, but, oh yes. So in Canada, by the way, marijuana is legal. So y'all have to know this before I speak about it. I don't do marijuana. I don't like it. However, I have used CBD oil, especially when I was recovering from mold poisoning years ago. It's really helpful. And so I've tried other things. Oh, I kept hearing all these raving things about this THC combination oil that'll help you sleep. Okay, finally I say, okay, I'm going to go. I go down, I talk to the experts, I get all this education, which one is the right one. It'll start at this low dose, I said, or half of that, you know, because I'm going to be real careful with this stuff because I don't like THC. But
you just do the CBD though, right?
Yeah, CBD is fine. Which, you know, all CBD oil has a certain amount. They can't take the THC entire out totally, but it's CBD oil is. And then again, you have to understand it's what's in the stem versus the leaves, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But anyway, I got this stuff and I said, okay, I'm going to give it a couple of nights. I'll try it out. Look, it did help me sleep, but the next morning I am so messed up. I even reduced it to a quarter of what they suggested to take. My body was so messed up the next day, I said, this stuff is not going to agree with me.
Yeah.
So, Dr. Mike says he takes 10 milligrams of melatonin before bed, and it helps him. I've known other people. Wendy says she takes sleepy time tea. And I didn't start having a sleep problem until I went through menopause. Mm-hmm. I used to be able to sleep, just say, okay, go to sleep, I'm out.
Oh, God, I've never.
And then my hormones went bonkers, and and they straightened out. You know, I was probably around 50, 55, and things started shifting, and I mellowed. But I have this sleep problem. It's like hard to get to sleep. And about every 6-8 weeks, it doesn't matter. I could drink a whole bottle of wine, and it won't make a difference, Michael. I'm not sleeping.
Well, alcohol keeps you up.
So,
but I mean, it's kind of counterintuitive, but it's true. Unless you're getting blackout drunk, which I don't think I've ever experienced, alcohol will keep you going. It just does. I don't know how it works. Like, anyway, but I will tell you,
brandy'll do it.
What's that?
A shot of brandy will do it. You know, my grandmother used to do that. She had the same problem, and this was the grandmother I didn't like it because she was really bonkers, my maternal grandmother. But she made her own 100 proof. I kid you not. And she would have a teaspoon. It was so thick. She called it her medicine.
Yeah.
But it was her homemade schnapps is what it was. And whatever berries she had that year, whatever, like, oh man, she's got her thing going and making her own stuff. Of course, back in the day, you know, liquor stores, unless you went to the tavern, you know, but no,
well,
that was.
I've always envied people that can just go to sleep. I've never, never in my life have I ever been able to. In fact, I remember being a small child, some of my earliest memories. I can't sleep. I'm going crazy, stir crazy. This is before I, you know, had real problems, so I just didn't have anxiety, so I'd just be going stir crazy. I'd be bored. I'd go wake up, I'd go in my dad's room, my folks are sleeping in their bed, I go up and I wake up my dad. And almost inevitably, every time I wake up my father from a dead sleep, he grabs me, he's like, what's going on? And I tell my dad I can't sleep, so he would like tell me these stories, and he'd keep nodding off, but I keep waking him up because I'm still not ready to go to sleep. I need to keep telling me the story. That basically started this whole trend, and then of course I had the teenage years. I don't want to go to sleep. Now, I'm reading people, they talk, well, I take this to go to sleep. I don't want, if I could take a drug that would basically make it so I don't ever have to sleep ever, I would do that. I hate sleep, and one of the big reasons, well, it's not entirely true. I do enjoy it, especially when you've been just so busy, you've been on a run of days where you've been just exhausted at work, and you come home, and yeah, sometimes you just want to get the day over so you can lay down and just rest. But as a rule, I hate fast-forwarding my life. I feel like even if I'm not doing anything important, I'm missing time. I am just going right from one point and then skipping 8 hours ahead. Well, actually, that never happens. Skipping 6 hours ahead at best.
That's psychological, Mike.
Exactly, exactly.
Hey, listen, I have to interrupt.
Go ahead.
Dr. Kevin has said in the chat he uses a Schumann resonance generator. Like we talked about the Schumann resonance just a week or so ago. At generator set at 7.83 hertz next to his end table. And that's how he sleeps. And I had to go look that up while you were talking because I have never heard of that. So, lo and behold, although Canadians are boycotting Amazon right now, no offense to USA, I did look it up, and Amazon has them. They're like $20-$30. Hmm. And, it's this little gadget you can push in, and it adjusts low frequency.
That's very interesting.
Again, I didn't know that.
I want to avoid every product that actually gets me to sleep faster. But it is very interesting. I also have to make a point. I said earlier that I always, go to fall asleep with the TV on or, some electronic device or a book in my hand or something. I do have I have a smart home, and it turns my TV off every night at 2 a.m. just so I don't have that light on all night. I am aware that the blue light from electronic screens is horrible for your sleep. Absolutely awful.
Yeah.
So I don't recommend it. Don't do as I do. I'm just going to say that.
I just want to add in here, Dr. Steven says, he says, I drop like a rock due to extreme sleep deprivation. He's a 3-year-old who's now getting melatonin so he can combat his own lack of sleep. But the little dude wakes up at 8 and he's up till 2. And if I can just say this to you, Steven, it's just a suggestion. I've raised a lot of kids in my life, and very often kids who are that in that way, number one is food, processed foods, and again, look, when kids are hyperactive, in my grandma's day, she'd give them a cup of coffee with cream and sugar in it, and it does the opposite to hyperactive kids, where normally that would make you hyper and get you going. To active kids, it actually has a reverse effect. But very often, it's things like foods and finding out what his rhythms are. I've known really active kids to have high sensitivities to chemicals, preservatives, spices are notorious. And then you can, from there, if you kind of like just observe those things, I'm not saying it is, just a suggestion, and then you get into a routine where, 7 or 8 o'clock, at that age, he should be going to bed, in my opinion, at 7, 8 o'clock, and should be down for the night. And it just means like one really hard week with a child of follow through will save you years and years of agony. And I know I've said that, to my kids and other people, if there's no follow through for consistency in that rhythm, because obviously your son's not in his circadian rhythm, his body, and at 3 years old, he can't function. He'll have to nap during the day for sure. He'd probably just drop or drop for 5 minutes and then be buzzing around again. But something is making him buzz, so it's getting to the bottom of that. Yeah. Dr. Micah said when he was a kid and he had a fever, his grandma would give him a glass of hot lemonade with a shot of bourbon. Not really sure if it worked, but it felt better. And, there's lots of those old remedies that now, of course, general society say, oh, my God, what are you doing? It's not uncommon, and we all live through it. It's you know, Wendy's saying her grandma used to make her warm buttermilk, but a little shot of bourbon in your, you know, hot lemonade, a shot is a shot, and probably it was like a teaspoon or something.
Yeah.
Of course, usually bourbon is 40 proof, so it's lots of those other remedies. But in those days, and I have said this to a lot of folks lately, you know, about the price of food and the price of whatever, there's basic eating. Because when I grew up, we didn't have salads in the winter. It wasn't because we didn't grow it. And it wasn't in the stores. We didn't have boxed foods. We didn't have that. And even then, what you did get at the store, you could get canned goods. You know, some things that were canned. Usually you bought it in bulk. And, you know, you kind of stored your canned foods for the winter. There's simpler eating. And when you eat simpler, it's cheaper.
Oh,
and it's we're just so accustomed to having so much variety, so many choices, but we don't understand what's in the food. And for instance, I have a dairy allergy, but the fact is, it's not the dairy. It's the pasteurization and the chemicals in the process. And to prove that to myself, I went to a friend's. They have cows, and I got milk directly from the cow, and I just tried a teaspoon of it, and I was fine. And I said, okay, then I know it's everything pasteurized I can't have because it's in that process. And usually by the time you get to chocolate milk, it's been back and forth to the dairy and reprocessed about 8 times. So it's we don't understand what goes on with food.
Have you tried boiling the raw milk?
No, because buying raw milk, number one, is illegal. But here's, and even then, no, it's too risky for me, Michael. It'll take me out for a week, so I don't mess around. I just don't need dairy. That's all.
Well, yeah.
It's understanding, and again, I'm not a health freak. I just know what's good for me. I just know that. Every human being has different requirements. I've tried to be a vegetarian. I've, you know, done all this, and I know I need moderate amounts of meat. So it's finding out what your child, Kevin, is needing, and kind of experimenting a bit with that. And if you're inclined, to me, everybody, listen up. I really advise this. In the States, it's more accessible, and here we have to ship it away only through a naturopath. But you can get blood work done and find out what your body at that time in your life has sensitivities to. And if you've eaten like 4 things that day that you have sensitivities to, your body's going to react. So that's a suggestion, Kevin. You want to get to the bottom of it, just get some blood work done. And you can get that through your doctor. Dr. Mike is throwing in a little humor. I bet I'm not the only one who had to walk to school through snow barefooted uphill both ways. Well, we didn't do a barefoot.
Yeah.
But, yeah. We walked to school. It was over a mile. And it didn't matter. Here in Canada, of course, you know, I'm going by Celsius, but the only time we were allowed to take our lunch to school in the winter is if it was colder than minus 16 Fahrenheit. So we would walk to school, home from school in minus 16 easily at lunchtime, and be back within that hour. So you get home, have your soup and sandwich, watch 10 minutes of Flintstones, go back to school. You know? And that's not a joke. That's what we did as a kid, so...
When I was living in Rapid City, which is in South Dakota, not too far from Canada, you know, it would snow horribly. And, you know, last time I was there in the winter, it was like 22 below in a blizzard. And, hey, you get used to it, you know. But I'd ride my bike to school. This is when I lived in Rapid, it was 3rd and 4th grade. So I'd ride my bike to school even in the winter. And I'd ride along. We lived next to this I don't think it was an interstate, but it was like an overpass, so, you know, I kind of went on a bridge, so there was this hill that went down, and then basically what I'd do is I'd go along the road, get to where the hill goes down, where the road keeps going. I would, on the way to school, ride my bike down this hill, and I haven't been back there as an adult, but man, I felt like that was, you know, like 100 feet going down.
We digress.
I went down, and then I'd, you know, go to school, but then I'd have to haul that bike back up through the snow.
You know, all those things that we do as kids, and I know we started out talking sleep and, you know, kind of circadian
rhythms. Well, I blame
Dr.
Mike, but, you know, it's fine.
Yeah, well, yeah, I like Dr. Mike's humor, too. And yeah. It's a little comedy,
in here.
I did put in the chat, anybody like a garden? We got some names already. So,
we do. So I think just to kind of recap, don't do as I do. Sleep is important. Try melatonin. And, I think that's, you know, I'm tentatively probably against most of the people listening. I don't really put much stock into, like, you know, the whole chemicals and food thing. But I think you made some really good points about how everybody has individual needs and we're not all the same. And, you know, some of us have dietary things that are going to help us live a more balanced life for us. And I think that's a really great point, so I wanted to emphasize that too. But you are right. It is that time. And we do have some names coming up.
We do. So we're going to give it our best shot to get through. I know we babbled longer than usual here, Michael. So we're going to see what we can do for folks.
Sure.
We've got a ton of names.
Well, I'll read them like I'm reading the fine print on a radio ad, so don't worry.
I got, okay, I'm just writing down a couple. We have Jerry first, so let's go with that.
Okay, well, let me pull a card here. I'm going to stop my chat. I'm going to start writing some down myself. And, Dr. Jerry, for you, I have Pay It Forward, a classic. It's number 29. Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way you can pay it forward right now?
Well, I got the Three of Pentacles or the Three of Diamonds in conjunction with that, Jerry. And it's just an affirmation. If you're really wondering if this is something you should do for free or something you should do out of a generosity or maybe not getting, you know, pay for it quite yet, I would say have faith. Go for it if that's your instinct, intuition, because you think it might just be the right thing to do, then I say go for it. Somewhere down the line, things do come around.
That's true, they do.
They do. We have Stephen next.
Stephen, you get a fun one. You get wild card number one, Paradox, my personal favorite. A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a new set of ideas and new ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first, and thus, new perspectives are discovered.
Well, the Queen of Clubs or the Queen of Wands comes up. So, well, this is a conundrum for me, Michael. When you have a woman like that, she's the overseer, the mother, Mother Earth, the matriarch, so to speak. And when you have paradox with that, there might be something here you don't understand, something that would go against your grain or something, you know, where you might just not kind of in sync with. And it's just asking you to look at another side. And then perhaps she has to look at another side also, and where you find that place in the middle, you know, because paradox does have a middle. And so it's just changing the view a little, you know, changing perspective. I hope that applies and makes sense in some way. We do have Audra next. She came up kind of in the middle of the pack. Michael,
Audra, well, she's coming early this time. Usually she's... Mm-hmm. Trying to get one. She's trying to sneak one in usually. But guess what, Audra? You get another wild card. Wild card number four, unknowable.
Oh.
There are mysteries in the universe. Not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable, unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind and you change your world. Change your mind and what was once unknowable is now knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change.
Ooh, might have to think fast on your feet here, Audra. The Eight of Wands, or Eight of Clubs, is fast action. It's one of, sometimes can be hasty, so you have to, like, move quickly. So you may not be certain of how to move forward or what your decision is. It's kind of go with it, go with instinctual behavior. And I want to say go ahead, even though you don't know the outcome. So that's usually what unknowable is. I like to say to yourself, I don't know what I'm doing, but I have to do this. So that's an affirmation in that way. So I want to say thank you for the feedback. The positive feedback. Feedback is unkind to me, you guys. I don't take that in my ego by any stretch. I'm just saying thank you for that because some days I think I'm out of my mind. So, all right, we have Donna next.
All right. Donna, for you, I have number 16, Continuity of Life. Human consciousness transcends the physical body, allowing a new chapter of life to continue. Stability and peace is assured with the continuity and flow of day-to-day life. There is reason to hope for a favorable outcome in the face of adversity or a difficult situation. You are a living example of the continuity of life. Cherished values will continue to live and grow. Sometimes we must allow a current chapter to close so that a new chapter can begin.
Oh, you know, that Eight of Clubs. It's one of those, the destination is assured, but even though you feel like there's a lot of challenges or burdens to get there, so there is this continuity, there is this movement forward, and that's the positive affirmation for you, Donna. Even though you feel like there's a struggle right now, feeling like, this is hard or difficult, those things where you're trying to figure stuff out, but the destination is assured. So hang in there. It's one step at a time. That's the encouragement that I can give you. Just one step at a time. You're good. Now we have Jeff and Shauna. Nice to have you here tonight, Shauna. So let's see what we've got for Jeff.
All right, Jeff. For you, I have number 38, open-mindedness. An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on personal agenda, a pet theory, or preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs knowledge and searches for credible solutions and conclusions.
All right, so we have the Wheel of Fortune. You know, you have to keep learning, keep growing. So that open-mindedness with the Wheel of Fortune, which is always about taking risk, taking chances. You know, sometimes you don't know the outcome, you don't know what you're doing again, but it's staying open-minded and you're learning as you go. So this is a real affirmation of encouragement for you, Jeff. I feel like there's something coming up that might be a bit of a risk for you, but I want to say leap. You know, as the Viking runes would say, leap empty-handed into the void.
God, I like that. I remember that one. I don't know if I've
okay.
heard that before.
We have Shauna next. So what Shauna, have we got for Shauna?
Shauna, for you, I have number 31, sacred obligations. A sacred obligation is a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good of all concerned. Sacred obligations include do no harm, do right, pay it forward, uphold individual value, value all life, extend tolerance and equality, control and change only what one is entitled to control and change, evolve and grow as a human being with higher awareness, promote knowledge, not fear, and more. Continue to aspire to your highest good by recognizing and fulfilling your sacred obligation.
Oh, Shauna, Ace of Hearts. You know, I got to confess, when I started digging around, have the fan out in front of me, digging around, there was one card in there. I said, no, it's got to be that one. That Ace of Hearts is all about fulfillment. It's all about coming from a place that's true to you, true to your heart. So the sacred obligation and being in a place of truthfulness for yourself, it's not doing out of fear. It's not doing out of anxiety or doing out of, you know, where you think you should do something for somebody else or, you know, whatever is going on in your life. It's really what is your own sacred obligation to yourself and the commitments that you have made to your own life. So it's like follow your heart. So don't follow fear, follow heart. And, you know, like life is going to be turbulent. It's going to be tough at times. That's a given. But it's be true to yourself. I love that. That's a really powerful kind of message. I think if I have this right, we have Kevin next.
Absolutely. And Kevin, for you, I have number 13, positive consciousness. I haven't pulled this one in a minute. Positive consciousness. It is our soul's natural inclination to be positive. Therefore, positive consciousness transcends positive thinking. As human beings, we can find ourselves with a need to filter negativities and ill will. Be at peace with your natural self and continue displaying goodwill towards others. Don't hate or hold hatred in your heart. Maintain your positive attitude even in the face of obstacles and discouragements, for they are temporary.
Ten of Diamonds. That Ten of Pentacles has everything to do with the marketplace, finances. It could have to do with work, how you earn money. It's being positive. So what I'm inclined to say, if you're worried about finances right now, I just want to say it's going to be okay. I want to say I wouldn't say it's a good time to invest in the marketplace if that's what anybody's thinking. But if you're looking at work or the buying and selling or looking at things, I want to say trust your instincts and be positive and be positive in your life. So again, it's in and around work and finances, you're going to be fine. So if that's something that you worry about, I want to say, you know, we all do our best to budget, look at things, you know, strategically, but you're going to be okay.
That's good stuff.
Dr. Mike has asked me, you know, if I've watched Dark Winds. I am dying to get that, but I'm not registered. I think it's on Paramount, and I'm not registered in Paramount yet. Mm. I'm waiting to see if there's more episodes on before I buy it.
Well, that makes sense.
And then I binge.
I got to say, one part of the, you know, back and forth you and I have is I've always liked to do little jokes about, you know, you being Canadian, but I can't do that anymore because of current events, and it really bums me out. Because I would have said I would have shared mine with you, but it doesn't work in Canada. But
doesn't work in Canada.
But
a lot
I gotta
of things
say,
don't work in Canada.
I do love my Canadian friends, and I love it up there.
It's a good thing, because we're not liking you all very much right
now.
Yeah, I know. No offense.
All right.
We have Jackie next. Let's
Jackie, getting on to bigger and better things, Jackie. I have for you. We're getting a lot in the 30s tonight. Number 32, sympathy over empathy. Mercy is compassion in action and fulfills a kind act of paying it forward. Sympathy, or sensitivity for another's plight, and empathy, or relating to another's plight, each requires a need, compassion, and action to fulfill a soul's need to explore, investigate, and educate. Always extend the benefit of the doubt until there's no longer a reason to do so.
Well, it's interesting that you got the Two of Wands, or the Two of Clubs. Sympathy, empathy, Two of Clubs. And you see, that's about how you look into the future, and I think where you can place what you can help with and what you can't. Sympathy is kind of inert, right? That's when there's nothing. I mean, you can offer a sympathy, you know, my condolences, but empathy kind of knows how somebody feels and knows kind of can relate to that. But also, it's about where you feel you can offer of yourself. Like, can I help you? Or what can I do for you? It's not to assume what to do for people, but it's to be a willing participant. So I think what this is saying, Jackie, in some way I'm trying to figure this out, is as you move forward, what do you want to participate in? And how will you manage, you know, your time, your energy, and some decisions coming up, and how you feel about it. So, gee, that was so convoluted, but I hope that makes sense. It's kind of a weird message there.
You got to go with it. You know, you got to read that intuition.
We have our card keeper, Wendy, next.
Wendy, always got to say we appreciate what you do looking for those patterns. And tonight, guess what? You get another one in the 30s. I don't know what is going on. Number 37, groundedness. Remain grounded by looking for evidence that supports or refutes claims or beliefs. Have a compelling and defensible basis for your beliefs, especially esoteric beliefs. An absence or denial of evidence does not assure a truthful conclusion. Be willing to examine beliefs, assumptions, and opinions and weigh them against facts. Suspend judgment until you have considered all of the facts or have more facts to uncover. Adjust opinions when new facts are found.
Oh, this is another one of those, you're getting to the destination, but it can feel turbulent. The difference between, you know, the swords or the spades and other suits in this way is you can feel like you're getting poked. You know, like not everybody's in agreement with you, or you got a lot of stuff with people going on around you, and how do you stay focused on your own life when there's so much other stuff going on? That's a tough one, to stay grounded in the midst of, you know, turbulence and still stay on track. It requires, a discipline, and it requires a focus, and knowing when to shut the world out, knowing when not to answer your phone, or not to be emotionally attached, you know, to other people's stuff. So it's just a suggestion, maybe. I would even say if this is something you're already thinking of, it's just telling you it's okay. Everything's going to be okay. Just don't let them poke you. You know, don't let them poke you. So
true enough.
We have Damien next.
No, I think Damien's our last poll of the night. Is that right?
I think so.
All right.
I think so.
Damien, you got out of the 30s because you get number 14, Energy Shift, New Chapter. I kind of like this for you, and I don't know why, but Energy Shift, New Chapter. I had it open, but then I closed it. Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness, knowledge, and new attitudes that naturally open new chapters in one's life. It's an excellent time to clarify your vision during this time of shifting energy. Reflect, gather your energy, breathe, and step forward with a renewed sense of direction. Out with the old, and in with the new.
Well, whenever I see the Four of Wands or the Four of Clubs, I always think of something like marriage, commitment, that kind of thing. But it can be any kind of commitment. It can be a partnership. It can be a written agreement. It could be a verbal agreement, for that matter. But in some way, it's a coming together with someone else or with something else. So this energy shift, new chapter, could very well be that you're joining forces, joining ideas, joining kind of up with, I want to say someone in an idea, and then an action, and I think it's a really positive one. So I think something is really opening up for you. And I mean, we're all sensible about things, you know, and I want to say go for it. You know, there's some really cool things about to kind of unfold for you. So, you know, one thing I have noticed, Michael, is that, you know, there's some really positive messages in all this, but where there is stress, how do I say this? When we're all facing a lot of stresses right now, and we'll all be called into action in some form or another. But that's the beauty of being able to participate in the face of change. And it teaches us about ourselves. And look, I'd like to be really angry too. Part of me, trust me, is.
Oh, yeah.
But it's knowing when to step forward and knowing when not to, and knowing what there are things to do and not. I mean, there's a lot of things Americans can do that I have no control over. We do what we need to do in the face of what's going on, you know, in the political climate and the economic climate. So if we were to face other obstacles, you know, Canadians, we do have this reputation of being, you know, kind and polite. We are.
Right.
For the most part. But we're fierce. Trust me. To live up here in these environment and in this country, there is something very strong about Canadians that very often other people in the world underestimate. We know that about ourselves.
Oh, I think if anybody that knows history knows that about you, too. Did you... You know about the stuff you guys did in World War I and why there's a bunch of stuff in the Geneva Conventions that wasn't there before, right?
Sure.
All right, I'm going to let other people Google that, but, you know.
Most people don't know, though, and there's an underestimation. And this is the interesting thing about people. When you're nice and kind, people think you're stupid. When you're polite and kind, people think they can take advantage. And that's always been really interesting for me to watch, and I think women know that more than men, because women are nice and kind, and men do mansplaining.
Yeah,
and because they think nice and kind and being generous is stupid.
I've considered myself a nice and kind person. I know you don't think so, but I generally have had that aura in my life.
You are, and you're very smart.
Well, thank you. That's kind of you. I've never thought the stereotype of nice and kind was stupid. I've always thought it was, for lack of a better term, weak. Like, you know, you're a pushover. You know, you might be smart. Yeah. You might be like a brainiac. You might be the smartest person on earth. But if somebody comes up and pushes you, you're not going to push back. That's not stupid. That's the kind of thing. And that's absolutely wrong, because you are absolutely right. Canadians can be real tough. I think anybody that grows up in the frozen cold is nice, because you already live a harsh enough life anyway, but you're also hardy. Also, if you live in the hellscape of swampy Florida in the summer. But anyway, I will also say that, well, you know, when it comes to a lot of these things about life, too many people focus on the wrong things. Just touching on that whole nice and kind. You do not... Being aggressive... Overtly aggressive all the time is not a show of strength. That is a show of stupidity and weakness. That shows insecurity. The most dangerous soldiers that come back from war, the most lethal people in the world, are generally the nicest people that you ever meet. That's just the way it is. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But, I'm just saying that while we're facing all this, lots of us may be called into action, and it won't matter. Age, it won't matter who you are. Dr. Mike had said the great World War II had both Americans and Canadians that had that was called the Devil's Brigade, and that's true. Mm-hmm. So you can look at history. But again, we're going to get through this.
We will.
So that's what I want to say. You know, everybody's still living their lives to the best of their ability. And this is, and you know, when I pull these cards, we do these little sessions, it reminds me, we're going to get through this. So they're going to be really tough days. Yeah. And we're going to have to maybe budget more than ever. Yeah. You guys more than us. But it's because we can still bring people in for our orchard. So that's the biggest difference.
Hate to break this to you. Well, you know, Trump has actually been deporting fewer people than Biden did.
Yeah, I know. It's really bonkers. But again, it's hang in there, everybody. You got to see past the garbage and know when to take action. Because with the action and the energy, we'll get through this. Yeah. So, and I really truly believe that. I'm not paying lip service here. It's probably a good idea to get a generator, you know, that Tillman's in. You know, it's if you can store some food. I mean, that's a good idea. There are things you can do, but we can talk about that another time. This hour has gone by so fast. Make sure you're getting enough sleep.
To everybody that's not me, make sure you're getting enough sleep. Now, I will say I don't have any kind of intuition on things like that. I think we're going to get through it a little easier than that. But that being said, who knows? We're in a chaotic time of change, and we don't know what the future holds. And also, I know. It's funny too, but I try not to get political ever because I don't want me to influence anybody. So that comment I made earlier, I'm trying to point out that so much of what you see in the news, so much of what you see on TV, so much of this stuff is all just pageantry. It's all
smoke and mirrors.
Yes. Yes, so I'm not trying to come down on one side or the other. I'm just saying a lot of what you see is just blather. Also, I'm going to tell people a secret. I am Dr. Vicky's favorite American to pick on, and because she lives so far away, she actually has to ship flaming bags of dog poo to my front door. It is insane. I don't know how she does it, but
it costs too much.
But it is time, that time of the night, and we have gone by this hour so quickly. So
I think we'll have an open discussion next week.
Oh, no. No. We're not. Nope. We're having what? Dr. Mike on next week.
I love that. I was going to think it was, I thought it was the week after. Sorry. Dr. Mike, yes.
I just messaged him while we've been on the air and asked him, and he was kind enough to say yes.
You could have told me.
Well, it's hard to get you messages secretly when we're both live on air. But
that's fun.
But anywho, so we don't know what we're going to talk about yet, but we're going to have a great...
Dr. Damien says, I'm his favorite Canadian. I'm probably the only Canadian you know.
Hold on.
That's funny. I'm glad we're going to have Dr. Mike on. I love it. I don't care what we talk about. We're good.
So it's going to be a fun time. And, you know, I love seeing you guys every week. I love seeing you, Dr. Vicky, because I get to actually see you on camera, and I get to see everybody else in chat. I look forward to this every week. We joke around. We have fun. We talk about our ideas. We don't all agree, and that is one of my favorite parts. I love being challenged. You guys challenge me. You challenge me, Dr. Vicky. Thank you all. So it is that time of the night. Dr. Vicky, last thoughts.
Don't let them push you around out there, people. Stay true to you.
Good advice. I also thought you were going to throw in an elbows up thing, but...
No. Well, I'm saving it.
Okay.
There will come the day.
Yes. So, thank you, everybody. And join us next week. Dr. Mike threw in scuba diving. Not sure if that's part of a chat discussion or if that's a topic. But, hey, we might talk about it. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.